Good morning, brothers. It is I'll tell you, it's a real blessing to be able to be with you this morning. I sincerely appreciate the prayers for my wife. I've spent a lot of time this past week in solitude, which is a glorious spiritual discipline, and I'm going to touch on some of these things, but I think it's important. This year, as Derek mentioned, we've intentionally tried to coordinate with the women, and this is meant to be an encouragement for each of you, okay? And sometimes as men, we also need to be challenged as well, okay? So I have some things that I want to share with you. 1 Timothy 4:7 says, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. And so I think the central idea, and I've got everything written out in front of you so that you don't have to be concerned about missing a word if I happen to say something and you didn't fill it in. I've been down that road and wished that somebody would repeat something when I missed it. So it's all spelled out there. And I think that if I were you, I would refer to this in the future, even as we gather, when all of my other brothers come together and share with you the various spiritual disciplines that they're going to share this year. Their heart's intent is for each of you to grow in your spiritual maturity. My goal as a believer, as a father, as a grandfather, is to not be the same person that I am right now when we get to the end of this season. And my heart's intent and the guys that are going to share with you this year, their heart's intent is for you to take this seriously and don't play games with your spiritual walk, okay? And I'm going to share some things that are going to be geared towards everybody, but then I'm going to share things that I think are going to be geared more towards the younger guys too as we go through this, okay? So like I said, the central idea is for us to understand what are the spiritual disciplines, what is the purpose for the spiritual disciplines, what's the fruit of the spiritual disciplines, and how we can persevere in the practice of these disciplines. There's personal and interpersonal, and by that I mean personal are things that you would take on and study yourself, that it would be on an individual basis, things like And we'll go through them, prayer and meditation, things like that. There's also interpersonal, which means corporately, or things that we would do together as a body of believers. There's sufficient means for us to use the spiritual-filled pursuit that is closeness to Christ and conformity to Him. Jesus modeled them for us and expects us to pursue them. Okay, did you hear what I said? He modeled them and He's expecting us to also practice these and to pursue them wholeheartedly. And in doing so, we'll taste the joy of a spiritually disciplined lifestyle. And so, like I said, personal and interpersonal, they're activities and not attitudes. I think sometimes we can look at other people and we can see spiritual growth in them and we can say, well, I'm not that type of a person, or I don't have that spiritual gifting, or I don't have this, or I don't have that. It's almost as if we're looking for excuses in our own life as to why we don't measure up, rather than laying hold of the truths that God's Word has given to us and work through them. I know as a kid, I was always looking for the easiest path. I didn't like to read, or I didn't like to do this, and I didn't like to do that. And I think sometimes we can develop habits that we only do the things that we like to do. And that will cause us issues in our spiritual walk if we're only doing things that we personally like to do. Does anybody relate to that and understand what I'm saying? And so I think it's important that all the things that I'm going to share with you as far as the disciplines, these are activities, they're habits, they're graces, it's fruit of the Spirit. It's something that each of us need to take personal ownership and responsibility for. See, we live in a society, in a culture today where People don't want to take personal responsibility. We as believers have to throw that away and totally be devoid of that and take ownership, because we have God's word that is the truth, and we have to know it. And so in order to know it, it's not just automatically going to fall into your brain. Okay? And like I said, if you've always tried to take the easiest path, you have to examine yourself. You really do. There's nobody else that can examine you but you. And you have to invest that time. We're going to talk about this season encouraging one another. I want to encourage you to encourage yourself. That's what I want you to take hold of this year. Encourage you to encourage yourself. Because sometimes, like me this week, I spent a whole lot of time in solitude. I needed that time to encourage myself to dig deeper into what I needed to share with you guys, because it's so important. You know, 20 years ago today, over 3,000 people lost their lives where the night before they had no idea they were not going to see the clock at 10 o'clock the next morning. And so we know who holds life and who values life. And so none of us are promised tomorrow. And so the time for the decisions, the time to get real with your spiritual walk is today. Okay? I got to follow my notes, otherwise, you know, I don't know if you've ever been known to travel down a path. But anyway, it's important that you understand that what I'm sharing with you, these disciplines are derived from the gospel and not divorced from the gospel. When the disciplines are rightly practiced, they take us deeper into the gospel of Jesus. And they're meant to bring godliness to us, not an ends to be practiced. I think that sometimes we can get all this head knowledge and take a pride of ownership of having all this head knowledge and not really realize that we haven't really made the connection between the head and the heart to where we can live it out. Okay, and so it's vital that we lay hold of these personal disciplines: reading, studying God's word, worshiping God alone. Some of the best worship time that I'd ever had in my life. You think about these things when you're laying in a hospital bed, and all you can do is meditate and sing psalms and sing the songs that we have sang in worship week after week. And so many times we can take that for granted. Brothers, don't take these times for granted. The interpersonal things, as I shared, reading aloud and studying God's word in growth groups, congregationally, congregational worship and prayer, fellowship, participating in the Lord's Supper, which we're going to do tomorrow. Okay? These are all forms of interpersonal disciplines. And these are meant to be blessings for all followers of Christ. So what is the purpose of spiritual disciplines? A lot of times, some of you young guys, you may think that prayer is drudgery. Meditating on God's word, how do you do that? What is that all about? Or fasting, what in the world is that other than I don't get to eat? You know what I'm saying? And I was joking with the guys on the committee. I said, so some of us need to do a little more of that. I take ownership of that, yes. Okay. But whatever the discipline, it's important. The important feature is that it's purpose. We have to begin with the end in mind. You know, when I was a kid, I took one piano lesson. I lasted one piano lesson. You want to know why? Because I did not envision the end in mind. It was drudgery. I became a professional starter. I would start and never finish things when I was a kid. I don't know if, you're probably hearing things like, geez, I've heard my dad say this to me. Okay, but I think it's important to examine yourself. You really have to dig deep and really be honest with yourself before the Lord and realize that, hey, there are people in your life that are trying to speak truth into your life. And you've just been like blowing them off because it's like, oh man, this guy sounds like my dad, or this guy sounds like this, or I don't want to be preached at. And we only want to do things that we like to do. The thing is that we have to grow in the desire for God's word so that we get to the point where we love it and we want to have more of it. Okay? Because of the fruit and the godliness and understanding that the purpose is godliness. And if we keep that thought of having the end in mind and realize that ultimately it's for our betterment and the betterment of our families to be a godly example for our children, for our grandchildren, for those, maybe you don't even have a family, maybe you're alone and you're by yourself. Don't underestimate the impact that you have as a godly man in the lives of other people's children. We have experienced in the 24 years that we have been here at Cornerstone, the godly influence that other men that are in this room have had on our children. Please do not underestimate that, okay? And I think that, you know, one of the scripture verses, and I have a lot of verses here, and I know I'm kind of jumping around. I'm sensitive to the time as well. First, we must understand that what we shall become. The Bible says of God's elect, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. Romans 8:29. And this is an important point that I want to call out, because it says, God has not only ordained the end, which is Christ-likeness, but he also has provided the means to it. Sanctification requires our discipline. And that's in Philippians 2:12-13. And I highly recommend, if you have not taken the opportunity to look up the radio ministry website, that Pastor Paul's messages come together each week, there is a two-part series. I highly recommend that you take the time, you invest the time in your spiritual walk to listen to it, because it is excellent, okay? And so, you know, I talked at the top of this one page. So why talk about discipline? If God predestines our conformity to Christ-likeness, where does discipline fit in? Why not just coast into the promised Christ-likeness and forget about discipline? Although God will grant Christ-likeness to us when he returns, until then he intends for us to grow towards it. We aren't merely to wait for holiness. You know, sometimes Christians think, well, I'm just going to wait and let go and let God. Right? You ever hear that? Okay? That you totally blank out on devoid of any personal responsibility. God's not going to honor that. You got to be kidding me. Right? And so we strive for peace with everyone. We're commanded in Hebrews 12:14. And for holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. So if you think that you're going to play patty cake with your spiritual walk, and you're not going to be obedient to the word of God, because if I don't know it, then I don't need to obey it. If that's your mentality, God's not going to be honored, because God gave us his word. It's our responsibility to dig into the word so that we know it. We know it in our hearts, and we're able to live it out and share that with the ones that we love, okay? Godly people are always disciplined people. And if you analyze yourself and in honesty you say, well, gee, I'm not very disciplined, then maybe you need to think, are you being truly godly if you're not really disciplined? That's only something that you can ask and ponder before your Lord, okay? And so what are some of the fruits of spiritual disciplines? We must remember that mature freedoms of discipline nurtured good godliness do not develop in a single reading of the scriptures. This is going to take time, okay? This is not going to be like an overnight microwave Christianity. We live in a society where we think everything's got to happen immediately. right? Patience. I'm learning patience in things, even in dealing with things with my wife, because things don't always go as fast as we want, or we don't get answers as fast as we want. Remember that Jesus was the most disciplined man who ever lived, and yet he was the most joyful and truly alive person that ever walked the face of the earth. And so he is the example. Us as fellow elders, we're to point to Christ. None of us are perfect. Have we ever made mistakes? Have we made mistakes within our walk with our wives, in our relationships with our children? Absolutely. But we have to have a softness in our hearts to realize that, especially over the last year and a half, I've had to examine myself of things that I have said, things that I have thought, comments that I have made, whatever it happens to be. It's important that God uses these things to grow us. And as long as we realize that we have not arrived, God is continuing to work in each of us, that we will be blessed by that. And so the whole idea of persevering in the practice of spiritual disciplines, I said there are three matters that are indispensable in helping us persevere in these practices. One is the role of the Holy Spirit. Another one is the role of fellowship. And the third is the role of struggle in Christian living. And I just listed the Holy Spirit. The role of the Holy Spirit is to produce within us the desire and the power for the disciplines that lead to godliness. That he develops in every believer is evident in 2 Timothy 1:7. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. The Holy Spirit will ever be faithful to help each of God's elect to persevere to the end in those things that will make us like Christ. And we must not harden our hearts, but instead respond to his promptings if we would be godly. Be careful not to harden your hearts. Okay? There's a lot of things that are going on right now. And if we're not careful, we're going to harden our hearts and miss what the Lord is trying to instill in us. Okay? Whether it be through encouragement from one another or in our own personal time of studying God's Word. Fellowship. No one should read the spiritual disciplines and imagine that practicing them in isolation from other believers, he or she can be as Christ-like, perhaps even more so. You can't be a Lone Ranger Christian. Okay? Don't become a hobbit and hole up in a little hole somewhere. Okay? Christians need to be active members of the local body of Christ. And so why do you think it's important that we as a church continue to promote how to become members, how to become baptized, how to progress in our sanctification? It's because the church leaders take personal ownership in realizing that that is a priority that we all need to continue to progressively grow in. Okay? And so people are at different places along the way in that progressive sanctification. We don't want a church that has 500 members but has the spiritual depth of 1 inch. Okay? And so that's why we're trying to dig deep and dive deep in each of our growth groups so that God will use that to not only unearth and soften the soil within our own hearts, but it will impact the families. We can have dialogue with our spouses about the topics that we're talking about this year. That was all very intentional, okay? And so the last thing is the fact that it's a struggle. Growth is gonna be a struggle. So you can count on that. Don't think that everything is gonna be easy peasy. Like as a kid, I was always looking for the easy way out. If I had to read something, I was hunting for Cliff Notes. If you kids have never heard of that, your parents can tell you, okay? That's where I was at, okay? I'm not there now. I'm reading like four or five at one time, and it's hard. I'm behind, right, Paul? I'm behind on my books of reading, see? But the point is that you learn to love the things that maybe you didn't like as a kid, okay? But the struggle, it says, although trust and rest are core values of the Christian life, so are discipline and struggle. Many forces combat the spiritual progress of those still on this side of heaven. And there's a comparison you can look at, Colossians 1:29 and 1 Timothy 4:10. The victory that we actually experience in daily life over the forces opposing our progress in disciplines comes through the practice of these very disciplines that I'm talking about. Okay? And so I have listed the two books as a men's steering committee. We are personally going through the disciplines of a godly man. There were some outstanding points that were brought out that I needed to hear with regards to marriage and the loving of my wife and in the ministering to my wife that I needed to see in order to implement those this past week. Okay, and so God will put people in your path. God will put books and recommendations to you. What are you going to do with it? Are you just going to mentally check it off and say, oh, that's nice. And then it doesn't go any further than that. So that's the personal challenge that I want to encourage you. And like I said, learn to encourage yourself. When you're at times alone, it's been a blessing to be able to share with you. I got a lot of things on my heart, but I want to get to the food. I don't know if you guys are hungry, okay? But the point is that the brothers that are going to come after me are going to share and focus on a specific discipline. Please have the heart to come back and hear what they have to share. I'm just the leadoff hitter. The rest of the heavy hitters are coming after me, okay? I'm a big guy, but I'm a leadoff hitter. I don't look like a leadoff hitter, but the point is that you need to be able to come back and build upon what we're talking about today. And so let me just close in prayer and lift the food up to you. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this privilege of coming together this morning. I lift my brothers to you. May you bless this food as nourishment to our bodies, Lord, and have a special time of fellowship as we sit and discuss some of these spiritual disciplines. And Lord, help each of us, Lord, to grow in our walk with you. And we lift this all up to you. In your Son's holy and precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's dig in.